On this edition of WBOI's Field Notes, Victoria Jacobson starts us off with more on an exciting Bishop Dwenger and Carroll football game, a look ahead at Week 5, and some hardware in girls' golf. I'll close with notes on the Fever, the Colts, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal Gazette is here to help us get started. As always, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
You previewed Bishop Dwenger and Carroll last week, and it looks like it ended up being a good game. Tell us how things played out.
Yes, it did end up being incredibly evenly matched and no touchdowns. If you like offense, if you like finishing drives, you maybe wouldn't have liked this game, but it ended up being a 9-6 Bishop Dwenger victory. It was their first time beating Carroll, I believe, since the 2020 season. So a pretty remarkable achievement for the Saints and, you know, maybe getting a little bit of momentum going this season. Carroll kicked the first field goal on their first possession of the day. Bishop Dwenger answered. Carroll got another in the second quarter. We're up 6-3 at halftime, but Dwenger gets two more in the second half, including a 52-yarder by Lucas Wynn, which Coach Jason Garrett did tell us was a school record. That ended up being the winning score there kind of early in the fourth quarter. And then Bishop Dwenger got a couple of key stops to hold on to that 9-6 victory.
A high schooler nailing a 52-yard kick seems incredible, but we've been seeing those distances grow a lot at all levels the last few years. Brandon Aubrey made a 64-yarder on Sunday with no problem. It's crazy. What can we look forward to heading into Week 5?
Well, in the other game that the Journal Gazette covered in person last Friday, it was Northrop versus Homestead. Northrop was on its first 3-0 start since, I believe, 1983, and that ended up being an incredible game as well. Homestead ended up winning this, shootout back and forth game in overtime. I felt a little bit bad for our newest reporter, James. We sent him out to cover it. That was his first ever high school football game for the Journal Gazette. And it went into overtime. And I was like, oh, I am sorry about that, buddy. But I bring this all up because Homestead and Bishop Dwenger are going to be playing each other this week. Bishop Dwenger has now held opponents to 6 points or fewer in three of their games so far this year. And they are 3-1. Homestead just won a shootout against Northrop, who we talked about as the last team in the SAC who was undefeated. So we'll get to see what these two teams are made of, and that is really exciting. And then we also have a pretty exciting NE8 matchup. So we have got Leo versus East Noble. So those teams are both 4-0. We've talked about East Noble. I was at their really impressive win over Snyder. They've looked pretty much unstoppable. Leo, also 4-0, opened up the year with a win over Bishop Lures and have just kind of been chugging away since. So really exciting to see that. That could end up determining who wins the NE8.
Girls golf is always the first fall sport to kick off every year, which means it's also the first where we start to see titles and achievements, and it looks like we already have an NEA champion.
Yes, so for the fourth year in a row, it was the DeKalb Barons who are taking home the NEA title from Cross Creek in Decatur. They shot 321, which is the best score that they've had in this streak of NEA titles. So for those of you at home who don't follow this that closely, you typically have five golfers on a championship roster. They all go out and play their round of 18 holes. Top four scores are taken, and that's how you get that final score. So that's pretty exciting. We had Concordia win the SAC tournament, and Warsaw finished second in the NLC.
We're not just seeing team success right now. Looks like local golfer Lily O'Byrn from East Noble also took home some hardware.
Yes, so she broke a little bit of a streak. Not only had the Barons had a chokehold on the team title, we had also just seen a run of individual medalists from DeKalb. So Lily Osborn is the first one to break that streak since Katie Hogue of Columbia City was the last non-DeKalb winner. And so that's really exciting for her. And as she pointed out, this is really exciting for her team as well. A really good day because East Noble finished second overall in the team standings. And that was a big jump because the Knights were fourth last year. So kind of feels feels like the team is rounding into shape, looking really good as we head into sectionals.
So when do sectionals begin?
Most of the area sectionals are going to be held this Friday. So we have quite a few sites across the area. Hopefully we will all be able to get them in on Friday, and hopefully we don't have any weather delays, which was memorably the case last year.
Victoria Jacobson covering the whole spectrum of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thanks as always for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, despite missing what feels like 1,000 players due to injury, the Indiana Fever picked up their first playoff win in quite some time Tuesday night by a convincing 77-60 score over the number 3 Atlanta Dream. That's a huge win for the Fever, who fell apart in the fourth quarter Sunday to go down 1-0 in the series. Now all tied up, the next game will decide who advances to the next round. Both teams are back in Atlanta for the deciding third game, which tips off at 7:30 and can be seen on ESPN2. Wouldn't it be exciting if they could pull off the upset? After the season Kelsey Mitchell's had, you'd love to see it. It was a thriller at Lucas Oil Stadium Sunday, but Danny Dimes and the Colts pulled out a win against the Broncos 29-28 to go up 2-0 on the year. Heard a lot of people going into that one saying the Broncos were the clear favorite. I didn't agree with that at all. It's a great start to the season for the Colts. After two home games to start the year, they'll hit the road for the first time this weekend for a 1:00 kickoff against the division rival Tennessee Titans, who are 0-2 to start the year. Can the Colts stay undefeated into week 4? For as confident as I've been in Daniel Jones, certainly didn't expect this kind of start, and I'm not sure many people did. Notre Dame has fallen to number 24 after last week's brutal loss to Texas A&M at home, their second loss of the season and second against a ranked opponent. Really not where you want to be to start the year. They're hoping to turn things around Saturday afternoon against Purdue. That one kicks off at 3:30 from South Bend. Meanwhile, the Hoosiers beat Indiana State on Friday 73-0, so things are looking a little better down in Bloomington. They're in prime time Saturday night against number 9 Illinois, which poses IU's first true challenge of the season. Kickoff from Bloomington is at 7:30. Baseball playoffs are starting to take shape. The Brewers have already clinched a spot in the National League, and the Phillies have won their division. Cubs have also been playing better lately and look like a lock for the top wildcard spot. The final NL wildcard spot remains up in the air as the Mets are in another total collapse as the season winds down. Where did the Arizona Diamondbacks come from? They're one game away from that final slot. The Reds and Giants are 3 games out. This could be one heck of a race. Most races in the American League remain up in the air, though it looks like the Blue Jays and Tigers should be in good shape to take their divisions soon enough. And the Tin Caps and the rest of the Midwest League were looking up at the West Michigan Whitecaps at the top of the standings all year. Turns out they're the real deal. They won the Midwest League championship earlier this week over Cedar Rapids. It's their 7th league title and first since 2015. Congratulations to them. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday and is made possible with support from listeners like you. WBOI's fall membership drive is underway, and you can support this podcast with your gift of any amount at any time at wboi.org/donate. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.